Hello, Gallatin Valley and online listeners. You are listening to KGVM Bozeman Community Radio, broadcasting at 95.9 FM and streaming at kgvm.org. I'm Roxana, and this is Desert Oracle Radio Replay. Whew. It's been quite a week. We had guests at the cabin for a week, and then we flew to Kansas City, which is home to them, but was a time to touch base with family there for us just before we hit the road to get to Las Vegas. We flew home from there after one luscious day with my son, his partner, and our newest grandchild. I'll spare you the details, but my husband and I agree that so much mileage in just 5 days is not good for human bodies. But you do what you gotta do, and seeing loved ones helps make the trip better. It was chilly and very windy for most of our road travel, but we're home now, and as I record this, our sky is a frosty blue, and the thermometer reads 19 degrees Fahrenheit. Our episode of Desert Oracle Radio today was produced by Ken Lane on November 17th, 2023. It's titled Song of the Doomed, but honestly, I'm not sure why. He includes pondering the celebrations in society of humans 12,000 years ago, especially the festival in early fall, and he zeroes in on the maxims of the seven sages of Delphi. That's my favorite part, and if you stick around after the bottom of the hour, you'll see why. Like the winds that blew that recent snowstorm around, here it comes.
Transmitting from the Mojave Wilderness in Joshua Tree, California, now is the time for Desert Oracle Radio, the voice of the desert.
Night has fallen on the desert, as it likes to do this time of year around 4 p.m. or so, as we stumble toward year's end, winter solstice just 4 weeks away now, which can be a gloomy thought when we realize how much of the year got away from us. Again. But sometime next week, I'll buck up and drive down to the Christmas tree lot, wherever I can find one. Preferably not in the home improvement chain's parking lot. We'll see what's out there this time around. And if the magic still works, sometime around the second week of December, I will start to feel it again. The disappointments and distractions of the year gone by just might turn into something sweeter, but not too sweet. A little more than bittersweet. It's a fine line. And when the fireplace is roaring and the little lights are twinkling on the noble fur, that strange mood of Christmas time usually comes again. It's not nostalgia, not for me anyway. I don't know what it is. But it's something older than that. Rolling with with the great wheel of the year, I suppose, when the horrified realization I'm still here slowly turns into, well, I'm still here. Maybe we'll get some snow for the holidays in the high desert. For the past 5 years, 4 years, 4 or 5 years, there has been snow. Sometimes a whole lot of it. Sometimes a dusting on the foothills. Sometimes you think it passed by without leaving a trace. And then the clouds break and the white winter sun reveals the little San Bernardino Mountains are just covered. From Eureka Peak to Quail Mountain, sparkling in the morning light. Looking down the barrel at 20 and 24, which is going to be a very interesting year. If you've got your antenna in place, I mean the invisible one atop your head, then you will know more than most that the new year will be one for the books. Wonders and horrors by the truckload. You know it's getting wild when the laws and the policies are coming as quick as the news, what you're allowed to do or say, or which war you're allowed to cheerlead for, as long as it's something far away. Everybody's getting squeezed one way or the other, by the mob on the street or the mob in the palace. It hardly matters. My sense is that a lot of figures in the news today will not even be around by next Christmas time, you know? Many will not be alive. Many more of them will be out of commission, put out to pasture, removed from the world stage by forces known and unknown, both natural and supernatural. You'll see. Listening to Cat Williams on the comedy station on satellite radio while driving past Ridgecrest. Must have been a newer routine post-pandemic. And he had everybody going, like the best preacher in town, about how everything's a war now, a war between the truth and a lie. The truth and a lie. The truth and a lie. That's how you do it in church. You repeat the key points with rhythmic insistence. But as smart as Cat Williams is, he never really told us what part was true and what part was a lie. Because it's impossible to keep track. It's exhausting by design. And if there's anything to learn from war all the time, it is this. You got to pick your battles. And you got to know when it's not your battle, which is 99.9% of all battles, it turns out. It's a locational thing. The other night I was looking for a particular Neil Young song called Long May You Run. I don't have it on a record or a CD, so I looked on the digital music system that everybody uses, and there wasn't any Neil Young music. And I could not even remember why. Only that there was some controversy years ago, I think, and now I can't listen to Long May You Run. People take these big dramatic stands, and a few months later, it's impossible to remember what it involved. What was all that about, anyways? Who knows? These days, I glance over the smoking ruins of social media, and people I've never heard of have lost their whole careers and livelihoods in this or that public realm for saying the wrong thing at the wrong moment, and they're the one that gets made an example of. The moment almost surely came with a sense of real conviction about whatever issue, which will be, if not forgotten, certainly no longer the only or primary topic of public discourse, such as it is. You come across some evidence of it long after the fact, and it's like a disposable face mask very slowly breaking down on a desert trail. Or the Ukraine flag emoji on a dead person's Twitter account, you know? A sign of something, a piece of historical evidence, primarily of interest to anthropologists and archaeologists of the future. But we're all just so desperate to have something to believe in, one way or another, something to make us feel like we're not just another consumer in a database with all of our supposed likes and dislikes and choices and options on a very narrow spectrum we rarely deviate from. Until maybe the madness switch goes off, and then maybe we make a melodramatic deviation, which also, it seems, is more or less the function of a larger operation, like slime molds moving through the plastic corridors of the science lab maze. And sometimes you come out of it right before the final horrific act, blinking in the daylight. I'm not a killer. I just wanted to get into the caves. I've mentioned the great spiritual sites of the ancient world in a couple of recent broadcasts. This stuff is always on my mind these past couple years, but especially since the early autumn. The past month or so. I'm always interested in the parts of culture that persist through time, like the way the people of a dozen thousand years ago gathered in fine weather for the great festivals at the sacred hill site in Anatolia, now called Göbekli Tepe. At the very beginnings of agriculture, that's where we get our words culture and cult and even occult. All from the ancient words for cultivation. there is evidence for large-scale hunting of gazelle between midsummer and autumn during the 2,000 years or so when the Great Complex was in active use. The mysterious temples have great stone columns with beautiful relief carvings of lions and boars, snakes and scorpions. And one scholarly reading of the evidence points to the brewing of beer for the people who came from every direction for the great feast of barbecue served up to mark the important dates, midsummer and autumn equinox being the likely range. But who knows, maybe they had a Christmas festival too with a festive market. People bringing interesting things to trade, interesting holiday delicacies from far and wide. Steadily through the 10 or 12,000 years since, we've kept holidays and held great festivals and gone on pilgrimage to the sacred zones, the temples and holy groves and holy mountains. The religions change and very dramatically changed about 1,500 years ago in the West, when the last of the classical temples were destroyed, covered in gloomy churches, or just disappeared under the silt and soil of millennia. But the practices are eternal, as many Western Buddhists are horrified to discover when they visit the great temples of Asia, where the masses do the usual things done at religious sites around the world and throughout time. They chant and say prayers and light candles and leave donations, take part in the rituals and crowd into the most famous spots. But it's Delphi that sticks with me most because we know so much more about it than most ancient temples, and it's still a tremendous mystery. What really happened there? 19th century romantic paintings of the Pythia are based on thin shards of conflicting textual evidence. But there's plenty of textual evidence for the maxims, the brief poetic statements of truth or wisdom or conundrum marked in stone all around the sacred district. There was no rule book for ancient religion, generally speaking, not beyond the local or regional rules for taking part in the festivals. No holy text you had to follow day after dreary day. But there were the maxims said to have been left behind by the seven sages. Most are entirely understandable and relatable today. And those that are not still contain much to contemplate. Think without time limits. Act quickly. Guard friendship. Be grateful. Do not reveal entrusted secrets. Use what you have. Judge without accepting gifts. Speak only when you know. Do not behave in a violent way. Live without sorrow. Behave with gentleness to others. Complete your activities without fear and without shrinking back. Struggle without losing your good reputation. Act without repenting. But when you err, repent. Fear ruling, fear being in charge. Pursue what is profitable. Accept opportunity with pleasure. Sympathize with the unlucky. Gratify without harming. Do not sign a guarantee when obtaining a loan. Speak plainly. Shun murder. Think first, act later. Wish for things that are possible. Be interested in public affairs. Guard what is yours. Shun what belongs to others. Listen to everyone. Be religiously silent. Do favors for your friends. Use time in an economical way. Associate with the wise. Test the character of a person. Nothing in excess. Act as if you are a stranger. Honor your family. Control yourself. Control your anger. Help your friends. Exercise prudence. Honor divine providence. Worship God. Respect your parents. Be overcome by justice. Base your knowledge on learning. Give back what you have received. Intend to get married. Take care to know the right opportunity. Exercise knowledge and skills in profession, trade, or science. Give what you mean to give. Honor good deeds. Be jealous of no one. Be on your guard. Grieve for nobody. Make promises to no one. Do not wrong the dead. Be well off as a mortal. Do not trust fortune. As a child, be well behaved. As a teenager, control yourself. At middle age, be just. When you're old, be sensible. On reaching the end, be without sorrow. From Amboy to Zizek's and across the great Mojave Wilderness, this is Desert Oracle Radio. With a lot of musical soundscapes tonight by Red, Blue, Black, Silver. And I'm your night watchman, Ken Lane. What's it like to live in the Mojave Desert, out in the great Mojave Wilderness, the middle of nowhere? People ask me from time to time, and I say, usually, well, it sure rains a lot. Yeah, it's the hottest and driest of our five official U.S.-American deserts, the Mojave is, but for years now, it just rains and rains. It rains all year round. Except in parts of winter and early spring when it snows more than you might expect. Well, thanks for coming by to check on us. Military helicopters. The waters were seeping in this week once again, and I thought, you know, it hasn't flooded since late August. If you're spending Thanksgiving week up here in Turkey Town, on Wednesday, Woden's Day, Thanksgiving Eve, they asked me to do a few rounds, or whatever it is. I don't know how trivia night works, to be honest. I've never attended such a thing. But that's at the Tiny Pony, 7 to 9 p.m. on Thanksgiving Eve. Trivia night. Don't call them. There's no other information. Don't call people. That's one of the maxims. Maybe I'll do the bonus round all about trucker songs, a subject I know very well. Used to be a truck driver myself, you know? Good night from the voice of the desert.
Well, we are at the bottom of the hour, and you are listening to Desert Oracle Radio Replay. I'm curious, what did you think about those maxims? How did you like the fear ruling and the fear being in charge ones? Word to the politicians, perhaps? What if our own billboards carried one of these maxims? Oh, I can dream. The one that says simply, be grateful, stands out to me. I hear it's actually good for our body and mind to focus on such things. Maybe that's why Ken gave this episode the title, Songs of the Doom, a suggestion of how to keep our mental attitude in a productive state straight from the ancients. What do you think? In the last few weeks, I've been approaching family, friends, and even strangers to call my voicemail and record something they're grateful for. The calls came in from Bozeman, Florida, Mexico, and more. I'm still accepting these calls to include on shows through December. You can add your own gratitude to the recordings. Just call 1-406-404-6246. Thanks in advance. Right now, let's see how hearing our fellow humans' gratitudes makes us feel.
Hi, Rocks. This is Pam, and I'm grateful for kindness, acceptance, and tolerance. Happy Thanksgiving.
This is DJ Zebra here, calling to say the things that I'm thankful for about in Bozeman are not any particular person, but the advocates, all of the advocates that we have in this town. There's so many passionate people that that have together made this place so special, the city of Bozeman and Gallatin County generally. And yeah, I guess that's what I'm grateful for. I showed up to Bozeman, I guess for the first time in like 2014, and one of the first things I noticed is just like the unique character, the generosity, the integrity of the place, and just the sheer beauty, obviously, too. So this Thanksgiving, I'm grateful for this place and the people who have fought without much acclaim for this place for so long. And I hope everybody has a great Thanksgiving.
Hello, this is Bree, currently in Baja. And I've been calling to say what I'm grateful for. I'm grateful for clean air and warm soup, flavorful food, ocean spray, pencils, pens, and thick paper, fragrant wood, new pebbles, birds flying and singing, old trees, mountains, and streams, laughter, art, books, dusk, oh man, when the deep purple light touches everything, golden hour, blue hour, magnificent clouds. I'm grateful for my eyes to see things, hands to make things. I'm grateful for comfortable beds to sleep in, boxes, towels, vibrant tiles, cold, the feel of soft sweaters, the feeling of connection with loved ones. I'm grateful for cozy homes, nests, quiet places, damp things, I'm grateful for my family, for organized public education, public transit, protesters, sidewalks, cabbage, and mangoes. And I'm grateful for local radio stations. It's great to be grateful. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Bonnie, and I am calling to talk about what I'm grateful for. I think I'm most grateful for the people who have added little gem of moments to my life, and by that I mean anybody who has made me giggle or brought me joy or helped me out of a pinch in the past year. And like, obviously, people like my friends and family have contributed more of those moments than others, but I'm even talking about the bus driver who has let me on when I've forgotten my fare. I think people who have contributed moments like that have made the past year really much easier than it would have been otherwise, and they've just been the icing on the cake. Anyway, bye-bye.
Hi, we wanted to call and say that we are very thankful for our family, and
we're thankful for
our friends and time to spend together.
I'm grateful for snow in the mountains and a climate that allows us to enjoy winter here.
And I have one more gratitude from my friend Susanna. And actually, this was the first one that I received. She did not want to record it, but she sent me to her webpage, and this is included on her statement. She says, "I am still alive, still creating, still have love that surrounds me, and I can still find nature that is pristine and allows me to breathe freely, and I have clean water. I can freely drink every day and nourish my body. That is more than most people can dream about. I appreciate my luck, but I also want to make sure I'm not the last one to have this experience." And because we're a community radio station and a nonprofit, I don't know that I can give you her website on the air, but you can always use my contact number that I'll give you again before the end of the program. And let me know if you want more information about her and what she does. She's a pretty incredible person. I'm grateful for so many things right now. I'm especially grateful for the warmth around our wood stove. Hey, have you noticed the moon lighting up our nights? November 27th is officially the full moon this month. It's called the Beaver Moon, and the Old Farmer's Almanac has this to say. The Beaver Moon reaches peak illumination in the morning of Monday, November 27th at 4:16 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It will be very close to full the night before, so plan to look for it starting on Sunday, November 26th, just after sunset. And why is it called the Beaver Moon? Well, this is the time of year when beavers begin to take shelter in their lodges, having laid up sufficient food stores for the long winter ahead. During the fur trade in North America, It was also the season to trap beavers for their thick, winter-ready pelts. Oh, poor beavers. Well, November's moon names highlight the actions of animals preparing for winter and the onset of the colder days ahead. Digging, or scratching, moon, a Tlingit name, evokes the image of animals foraging for fallen nuts and shoots of green foliage and bears digging their winter dens. The Dakota and Lakota term deer rutting moon refers to the time when deer seek mates, and the Algonquin whitefish moon describes the spawning time for this fish. About the seasonal change of November, this moon has been called the Frost Moon by the Cree and Assiniboine peoples, and the Freezing Moon by the Anishinaabe, for good reason, as winter is right around the corner. Boy, it feels like that today. And don't forget, this week we have Giving Tuesday. Along with all the good causes around us, consider sending some love to KGVM too. Well, it's about that time. Thank you, Gallatin Valley, for listening. As always, you can call me and leave a message or text about anything on your mind. The number is 1-406-404-6246. Remember to spread the word that you can hear this program on the air at 95.9 FM, Bozeman Community Radio, or you can stream it online at kgvm.org at 7 p.m. Sunday and 9 a.m. Monday. Our past Desert Oracle Radio replay episodes are also available on demand on the kgvm.org website. Well, that's about it for today. So till next time, listeners, be safe, stay well, and sweet dreams. Oh, and my thanks to Ken Lane, the Old Farmer's Almanac, and all the people that called in with gratitudes. Keep them coming. Talking Heads are taking us out today with This Must Be the Place, Naive Melody. Thank you.
come home.